The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Next guest is an author who has in the last few years been writing for children and young adults to huge acclaim. Her latest book deals with the complications that arise when a sixth class girl has to deal with the aftermath of a life-changing injury. The book is called Saving Grace, and Sinead Moriarty is here. Hello.
Hello.
Lovely to see you.
Lovely to be here.
Now, you know my daughter Jane, who's 11, is a huge fan of yours. She got this book. She read it, and then I told her last night you were coming in. So she said to me, can I have the day off school to go to work with you today to meet Sinead because I love her?
Oh, that's so nice. That is so lovely. She's probably the first kid to have read it, by the way.
Really?
Because it's only officially out tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, she'll be thrilled
so
to hear that.
You can tell her that.
She didn't get the day off school, by the way.
I see she's not here.
She's in school and she's working away, but she did love this book, and I actually got her to read it so that she could sort of do her little review and praise for me. So she was doing some of my work for me. But she told me the whole story and she was so invested in it because it deals with really tricky things. Mm. Like, it deals with that awful accident that happens when a fire hurts Grace and causes her scarring. But then going back into school, some of the nasty comments. These are hard things to write, I would imagine, are they?
Yeah, I really wanted to write something around the whole idea of pretty and beauty and what it means. And so my books are for sort of 8 to 12 year olds. So just before and around the times they're getting mobile phones, when suddenly how you look becomes really, really important. So Grace has her whole life always been told she's pretty. Oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. And then one Halloween night, the book opens with this, so it's not a spoiler. On Halloween night, her costume goes on fire and she gets burnt on the side of her face. And the whole book really is about, who am I if I'm not pretty, even though she still is? And it's about how she realises really that beauty is about compassion and kindness and empathy. And I just wanted to explore that whole topic. And also, when the accident happened, it just doesn't just affect her, it affects her parents and her brother and affects her friends, because everybody's kind of traumatised by it. And
because the party where the accident happens, that's in their friend's house.
So there's three families who all live in the same cul-de-sac and they become really good friends, and the accident happens in somebody else's house. So Grace's parents blame them. They blame Grace's parents for not looking after their own child, and everybody is kind of upside down and inside out. And Grace's parents are obviously really upset because she's traumatised. And then when she goes back to school, as you said, not everybody is kind. And some people say kind of mean things. Some is behind her back, you know, and she happens to overhear. But it's really about, she has to figure out, who am I? You know, who really am I if I'm not, as everyone used to say, pretty?
And like, children being children, she tries to have her hair down over the scarring and somebody lifts the hair up.
Yeah.
And these things happen. I mean, they sound so awful. And as adults, we know where the line is. But often with children, they don't.
No, they don't. And especially when they're young and they don't really understand. And again, you know, all my books, my line is education by stealth. So I'm trying to teach kids by creating kind of engaging stories. There's always a bit of crack in the books as well. But yeah, but Grace has these amazing three best friends and they're really good to her. But also I wanted to look at the fact that Grace is so kind of obsessed with her issues and what happened to her. She's actually kind of tricky to be around for a while. And it's about how you have to be very patient with somebody who's upset. But she doesn't realise that Ali, her best friend, is also having a really tough time with things going on in her life. And then eventually they have this fight and Ali goes, I've got stuff going on as well. And then Grace kind of realises that she has just completely been self-absorbed. So it's all those different issues that come when an accident happens or something happens to somebody and they're, you know, traumatised and upset and they become very kind of self-obsessed. The other thing about the book is that Grace is kind of angry and she wants to lash out, and they're doing a school play and she would traditionally have always got the best part, but she actually gets the worst part.
She's the donkey's bum.
She's the bum of the donkey, yes, instead of being Joseph or Mary. So she's fuming and she decides she wants to ruin the play. And then as the book goes on, she realises that, you know, lashing out at other people isn't going to make her feel better about herself. And then, in fact, it's about accepting the new her and, you know, understanding that she's got a fabulous family and gorgeous friends and that actually life is good. And she is not the same person. She's actually possibly a better version of her old self. So it's all my books, Claire, you know, are about serious issues, but written in an engaging way. So, you know, we've had refugees and homelessness. And I'm not going, there are these many homeless kids in Ireland. I'm kind of going, would it feel like if you had to live in the boot of your car for a couple of weeks? What would it feel like if this happened to you? And I think kids really relate to that. And it's lovely to hear that Jane, you know, was really engaged with the character, because if you love the character, then you're going to walk a mile in their shoes. And that's what I'm trying to do. I want everybody to walk a mile in the shoes.
And you have walked miles in those shoes as well, because I know, particularly with the refugee story, that you went and met refugees and you made friends with people who you're still friends with. I mean, you sort of have to do that level of work and research, haven't you, to be able to write something like this?
Well, funny story about this. I had research an adult book, and I did about 3 months research into burns, and I started the book and I just couldn't get it to work. It was about 5, maybe 6 years ago, and I was absolutely devastated because I'd done all this really intense research. And then I thought, hang on, that book mightn't have worked, but why don't I write one about a child? So actually, I had done a lot of the research, but with children's books, we're always very careful. We had a nurse from Burns Unit read the book to just make sure that everything was as it should be. And she only suggested 2 very small changes. And so, you know, that's obviously very important too. I don't want to frighten children. I want to just make them just think outside the box a little bit. Yeah. What would it be like if...
this? I'm loath to call it a diversion, but you did. I mean, your stock in trade was the big family dramas written for adults. Then you started with the children's books, but now you're really far down this road, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm doing both, and I'm managing to do both and loving to do both. I think with my adult books, I always had loads of kids in them because I loved writing about kids. And then I wanted to write kids' books, but I wanted to write about something that was kind of serious but engaging. And then, as you said, my first book, The New Girl, was about a Syrian refugee, and I met the amazing Sarah El-Hariri, who I went to her graduation. She graduated in pharmaceutical science. And she came here at 17 after a very traumatic time in Greece. And I just cried the whole time through her graduation. I was so proud of her. It's just ridiculous. I mean, what she has been through and what she's achieved. So people are amazing, and kids are amazing, and they're resilient. And I just want them to know that and to understand that. And that compassion and empathy and tolerance are so important, and they're superpowers.
And I can imagine the conversations that you get into when you're chatting to children who've read the book are incredible, because they'll always see something that you hadn't anticipated, right?
Oh, God, yeah. And they're very, very passionate about things that they believe in, and characters that they feel were hard done by or should have got more airtime or whatever it might be. It's absolutely brilliant. It is the most joyful space. I didn't expect it to be so joyful. I just love being with children that age, because they just make you feel so hopeful about the world.
Publishing is changing though a lot, isn't it? And book sales are changing a lot. Do you see that? Have you seen that over your career?
Yeah, and what's really worrying is there was a survey done recently, and something like 48 or 50% of adults in England, in the UK, no longer read to their kids because it's not fun. And I don't know what fun is, but for me, reading to my kids when they were younger was the best part of the day. So that's very frightening. So
how do they get them to sleep?
God only knows. Anyway, I suppose so. It's more important now than ever to keep children reading, because as we all know, I've got teenagers. Once they get phones, they fall off a cliff. So I feel passionately that we have to get children reading at a young age and get them to love books. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they will come back to it.
Is it your experience though with the teenagers that they do drift back to the books, or are they gone forever?
Not yet. But I am hopeful, because I put a lot of time and effort into it. So I'm hoping they will come back. Yeah, I think they will, because I think the grow is there. Well, I'm hoping so, Claire. I'm hoping so.
I was talking to Dermot McTiernan on the programme yesterday, and we were talking about audiobooks. She loves them. She's really invested in finding the right voice to narrate the book.
Yeah.
And I felt funny about audiobooks in the beginning when they came out first, but now I just think they are the best way to expand the amount of stuff that you can absorb.
And they're great company. Like, I listen to audiobooks in the car all the time. They're really good company. And actually, funnily enough, I actually was at the dentist this morning, and she's going on a long trip with their 6-year-old. And I said, get an audiobook, because we used to play audiobooks in the cars on long journeys for the kids. And it was absolutely brilliant. They'd be captivated for hours. So I'm all for audiobooks, physical books, whatever way you're ingesting stories, go for it.
Yeah. So what is next on the agenda now? Adult or children's fiction?
I'm working on one adult and one children's fiction.
At the same time? How can you do that?
I kind of do adult in the morning, kids in the afternoon. No, it's fun. So far it's working. You know, if it ain't broke.
Can you give us any clues as to what to expect?
I don't know. I'm thinking about doing a series for children next. I think I might do a series.
So you would have a character in mind that you can carry through a number of books?
I'm thinking maybe a boarding school setting. I'm thinking about that.
I like it. Back to the old Enid Blyton days.
Yes, yes. Inspired by St. Clair's and Mallory Towers, I'm not going to lie.
And why not? And then for the adult fiction, are you still immersed in family drama?
Yeah, it's a kind of a very dysfunctional car journey across France with nieces, nephews, grannies, lots of generations of a family squished in a boiling hot car going across France for a very serious reason.
Now, tell me about your writing regime, how you do it, how you set up your day, what sort of rituals you need to have.
I'm not a ritual more, I'm just disciplined. I've always written school hours.
At home?
Yeah, I have a tiny little office, which is a glorified cupboard. And I just go in there and disappear into my own little world. And I feel so fortunate, really, Claire, because like for me, it's my meditation. You know, it's where I go to disappear from everything. And I get to like create for hours every day. It's
what happens, though, if it doesn't happen?
Just sit there and wait. Because if I wander off and start doing stuff, I'll never go back. So I just sit there and wait.
And do you say, I have to write for 2 hours today, or I have to do a certain amount of words?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about momentum for me with writing. And if I keep pushing forward, then I might delete all of what I wrote, but at least the momentum is there. I'm moving forward all the time. I think it's really important as well, because when a book comes out, let's say it does really well, great. Let's say it doesn't do as well as you hoped. You're already immersed in a new book, so you're already moving ahead. So I think that's really important.
And do you plot out your story before you sit down to write a word?
Funnily enough,
you know what the ending is, in other words.
Interestingly, the adult's book I do and the kids' books, now I'm freer with the kids' books. I just kind of go, I'm going to write a little bit about a little girl who gets burned, and that's my opening scene, and then I just go and see what happens. So actually, that's been really, really interesting.
It's also really unusual that you would have two different methods, because I would have thought you would have to be very, if you're very structured with the adult ones, that you would do the same with the children's one, but there's something happening there.
Bizarrely, yeah. There's more of a freedom there, I think. And I let the kids take me where they want to go. I don't know. It's funny. Yeah, it's different.
Well, it's working for you, Sinead.
Thank you.
It's working for you. Saving Grace, very positively reviewed by 11-year-old Jane, who very sadly for her had to go to school. But you've signed the copy of the book, so she will be delighted with that, Sinead. Thank you so much for being with us. The book is called Saving Grace. It is out tomorrow.
Yep.
When the worst happens, you find out who your friends truly are, by Sinead Moriarty.
And there's an audiobook version as well.
Great. Well, we'll definitely be interested in hearing that. Sinead, thanks so much. It's lovely to see you.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.